Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew there in a boat to a deserted place. Heard what? What happens before this story has everything to do with how we can understand the feeding of the 5,000 plus. What happened beforehand was that John the Baptist was murdered. It's a macabre scene laid out by Matthew. We learn in the gospel that Herod Antipas was afraid of the power of John the Baptist. Crowds followed him, crowds of anxious followers who go after a fearless, combative leader. For despotic rulers in the ancient world and today, this is a recipe for disaster. And at a banquet one evening, Herod gets his chance to get rid of John. John has spoken out against the marriage of Herodias to her half-uncle. She is very mad. And Herodias convinces her daughter to dance for Herod. In exchange, her daughter is offered one wish. She doesn't ask for gold or a palace or jewelry. She asks for the life of John the Baptist. And that's what she gets. That removes John from the picture. One political threat eliminated, and one to go. So you can imagine the panic that ensues for those who were followers of John, who believed he was Elijah, come to blast the way open for the political rebellion of the Messiah. It's no wonder that Jesus hears this news and he flees. He flees from the far side of Galilee, outside the jurisdiction of Herod Antipas, out of his clutches. I'm giving you the backstory for this miraculous feeding we hear in today's gospel because I want you to feel the fear. Jesus is not heading off for silent meditation or a prayer retreat. He's fleeing from a political murder. He gets out of there so fast, senses the danger is so near, that he ends up in this remote area with very little food. And when he gets there, the crowds have made their way to him. He's crossed by the lake, but they have gone around the lake by foot. And what he sees next is gut-wrenching. Or we heard, he had compassion. But the phrase is actually more devastating than that. Jesus is heartbroken by the state of the people. The other time we hear Matthew use this word to describe someone, he says he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Harassed and helpless, they too are fleeing in terror from Herod, driven out of their land by this horrific murder, clutched together in terror in this remote area. What should they do? What's going to become of them now? Those who believed in John, who believed that salvation was near, that is the crowd who they stumble upon on the far side of the lake. And so Jesus sets up this little hospital. He starts taking care of them and healing them. And as the hours wear on into the evening, the disciples start to get worried. This is a lot of people. So the disciples come up with another plan. They get together and talk about options. Local villages nearby. They calculate there's probably a food line still open at this hour. They probably passed at least a cookout and two Bojangles along the way. Yes, that's what they'll do. So they make the suggestion to the teacher. They can get some food in the village. Or you could feed them. I wish I could see the looks on their faces when Jesus responded this way. But they sort through their bags and pockets and pull together a couple fish and a few loaves of bread. This doesn't seem like it's going to work. And I wonder which of the disciples finally decided he was going to be the one to tell Jesus that they had no idea what he was talking about. Eventually, one of them collects the rations and goes up and says, "Okay, here's what we've got. Bring them here to me." Jesus sits the people down, and he breaks this bread. And it becomes a meal to feed everyone with leftovers. And a few curious things happen here. Did you notice the focus is on every part of the story but the miracle? We get lots of details that we don't need. The number of people, a precise amount of fish and loaves, a detailed location of where they are, but nothing about how the actual feast came to be. Did Jesus just break the bread and instantly a mountain of food appeared? Or did the baskets they had suddenly appear full? Did it slowly divide as the disciples went through the crowds? Did people look and just notice piles of food around them? That's where my imagination goes. But that's of no interest to the person who records this miracle. Instead, the focus is on the disciples. The people who eat seem oblivious to what just happened to them. At other times, Jesus' miracles evoke fear or wonder. People try to throw him out. They want to make him a king. But not this time. The people eat, apparently oblivious to where the food came from. The healings were for the crowd. The miracle is for the disciples of Jesus. This week I got an email asking if we could raise the bond fund for a Nicaraguan pastor and university professor who was jailed and tortured for protesting her government. She fled to the U.S., passed her credible fear interview, and is detained at Eloy on a $12,000 bond. We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. For the past 2 Sundays, we met to discuss how we could use resources we have to respond to growing crisis of families and shelters at the border. We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. At our sibling church in Columbus, Ohio, a wife and a mother with a deportation order just passed her 500th day living in sanctuary in a church building. Edith is growing desperate for a resolution to her situation, to return to her life and her family. We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. People from our city who've been impacted by excessive police force, who are angry that accountability happens behind closed doors. They want other people like us, to organize with them for a police oversight board, to help them figure out how to get the attention of an uninterested city council. We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This is the list of emails that greeted me when I returned from vacation this week. So you can imagine what it was like to open up the Bible for this week's preaching text and to see these words staring back at me. They have no need to go away. You give them something to eat. Thanks, Jesus. I could hear myself with the disciples, desperately trying to find a way for these people to take care of themselves, hovering over the delete button on my computer, hoping this could become someone else's responsibility. I don't think it's unusual for us to receive the call for help from the scared, the terrorized, those fleeing political chaos, those wondering what comes next, and for us to rustle around and find we have half a peanut butter sandwich to offer. We stand there with our hands out. This is all we have. We are helpless before the enormity of sin and brokenness ripping apart our world. This little outpost of God's love feels a little silly with all the forces of want and fear and terror on all sides. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven. He blessed and broke the loaves, and he gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowd. Jesus gives the disciples what they need to distribute. In the midst of a scene of despair, surrounded literally by nothingness, God makes something out of just a little bit. Jesus makes abundance. It's more than enough. It's more than enough to make it through more than a couple hours. It's enough to stay longer. It's enough till everyone is full. Because it was never just about the bread. It was about a meal, a feast that produces excess. And it was for the disciples to see that their scrounging efforts to respond to the pain of the world finds a way in Jesus. They don't have any answers. They don't have the ability to make things right. There's no triumphalism here, no setting the world as it should be. They have Jesus multiplying bread and loaves, handing back to them what they don't have on their own, and then offering that to the crowds who ask them for help. It isn't unusual in the Bible for God to take something and to turn it into more. A thing we already have that becomes something else. So I read this story and I waited to see how God might multiply our little bit of something to see that there might be more. So I emailed 12 churches to see if they would each raise $1,000 to bond Pastora Imelda out of Eloy. I watched a flood of support pour out across the country as hundreds of people stood up for Edith. I got an email saying Pullen was offering to host a family from the border and wonders if we would partner with them. A coalition formed from people across Wake County who want to do the difficult work of revisiting our history of racialized violence. More and more voices are joining together to demand a robust police accountability presence in Raleigh. We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Because what Jesus seems to want from the disciples is just the little they already have. He never chastises them for not being more prepared. He's not looking for them to come up with some brilliant pragmatic solution. He wants them to see that everything they have is here in front of them, for them to put this absurd trust in a God who makes something out of nothing. We are about to receive communion as disciples of Jesus, people who follow after this God. And we're a small congregation, extra small today, with our loaves of bread, our time, our energy, our money. But the miracle of the bread is not just that there's more of it, but that we're never alone when we eat it. Instead of us offering what we have, pretending we can set the world right with accumulating enough wealth and power, we find ourselves eating in the company of others. Because communion isn't just about being fed. It's God's action in the bread to feed us together. And the story of Jesus working within the disciples to feed that fearful crowd, there's a pattern that we'll see once more when Jesus gives communion to his disciples. Take, bless, break, give. This is actually a communion story. And it shows us the miracle of communion, a miracle for disciples of Jesus who need to see again that God can take their little and make it much. We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And here at the table, in this community, in our lives, we discovered there's more than enough because we're here together. Amen.